Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
What's good, guys? Welcome back to the Gold Diggers podcast. We are back on International Week, which is actually not orthodox for us, but we thought let's give you guys some content because everyone's bored. I'm not gonna lie, it hasn't been a boring International Week. It's been an interesting one. So we're gonna talk about all things to do with Jadon Sancho, Anthony, Neymar, England, the women's game. We've got a lot of content to come for you, so make sure you stay tuned. I will be your host today at Anita Abayomi on all social media platforms. I'm no longer at FLWN, at Anita Abayomi. And I'm here with
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Shy at Shy Carter.
Beatrice at Bookie_Beatrice.
And Joyce Swifty Stones from Twitter.
Now, Jadon Sancho has been under a lot of scrutiny in the past week. I think the last time we sat here, this time last week, Seagal read out what Jadon Sancho had put. Mm-mm. Was it Seagal? Yeah. Read out a statement from Jadon Sancho following Erik ten Hag's statement about Sancho not being productive in training, right? And then Jadon Sancho's like, oh no, I'm not going to be a scapegoat, yada, yada, yada. And ever since then, it's just been a media free-for-all. Now, we actually have a Man United fan here twice in a row. Wow. This never really happens, but wow. But Beatrice, what's your take on this whole Sancho debacle?
Well, now that statement is still pinned on his Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. You're getting, you know, all this scrutiny. Fine. It's not completely deserved. However, putting out a statement, I don't know who advised him to do that. It doesn't make any sense. Like, obviously, you're going to attract more attention to yourself. If you're trying to stay away from attention, you don't go putting out statements. That's, for me, that was a silly thing to do. And the fact that it's still there now means you meant that shit, clearly. You meant that shit, fine. You meant it, but still, it doesn't... I just feel like now, where he actually has an opportunity to play with one of our players being out, is he really going to get picked? Like, no one, again, wants to put him on because now everyone's, all eyes are going to be on him. We're going to expect him to hit the floor running and go and score goals. But obviously he's not going to do that because his performances so far at Manchester United have been mid. They've been mid. And like, there's just nothing to write home about. There's nothing encouraging that he's shown over the last, you know, season and a half for us to even like, I want to defend him, but I also feel like, I don't really have much to go off here. Like, you've not shown me anything that makes me feel like everything that you've been through is completely unfair. Yes, parts of it are definitely unfair, especially from the media, but I don't think the coach has necessarily done anything wrong. So I'm a bit just like, we'll see how it goes, but I don't think he's helped himself at all.
Do you know what? I think that's a fair assessment coming from a United fan. I feel like outside of Man United's fandom, a lot of people kind of get where, say, Jadon Sancho is coming from and kind of like are rooting for. Am I the only one?
It's hard not to empathize with his like situation at the moment anyways, because I mean, going from Dortmund and still playing along the likes of like Haaland and whatnot, and shining there and then moving into United and not doing as great. And obviously then you have to think about the status and what it means to play for United. Obviously it's not obviously living up to that standard, but you also have to feel bad for the kid because, you know, they're looking for any person to sort of shoot down at the moment, and unfortunately it has to be him.
Yeah, I think, like, he was poorly advised. He shouldn't put the statement out. But what's not okay is this smear campaign that the media are doing. All of this, like, leaking that's coming out, that, like, his attitude in training and things like that. I think, yes, he needs to do better. He came with a big price tag. He's not playing particularly well. But I don't... I always think when you're seeing this kind of continued article after article after, as it has been this week, and it's being leaked by the club, for me it just feels deliberate. And then it's a case, I don't think he deserves that. You know, the way that obviously when he missed parts of last season to kind of go and work on himself, there was clearly a tactic that the club took, and it just feels like things have changed. And that's why I asked, like, what has changed in terms of the way that United are dealing with it? Because, you know, what... Yes, he needs to play better, but this isn't right. And how is what's happened to him this week going to help him get back to any sort of level where United fans want to, like, you know, see him on the pitch?
What about you, Shai? Do you think that Jaden made a wrong decision to put out a statement?
No.
You don't think?
No.
Why?
I don't. One thing about European football culture, I hate it. I hate the fact that players are silenced. I hate the fact that they can't speak. I hate the fact that we'll sit here and praise NBA and NFL players for having freedom of expression. And when it comes to the European game, it's shut up. You get paid $300k a week. You can't say anything. That's dead. Sorry. As far as I'm concerned, if you sent Jadon Sancho away on a mental health break or to the mountains, as people say, why on earth would you then go back to the media and single him out again? Does his mental health not matter anymore? Like, you got him out of a dark place. You then went in a post-match interview over a game that you lost. And then you singled out a player who wasn't even in the team. It makes no sense. He had every right to say what he wanted to say. As far as I'm concerned, for far too long in this country, it's been the voice of managers, the voice of bittered retired ex-players, and you never hear from the players because they should just take it. No, they shouldn't. He done exactly what he should have done, and I applaud footballers who speak up against what's going on, because then you only hear one side of the story. It makes no sense. And what's funny now is you're going to go back and crawl back to Sancho, because now you need him. Now you need to rely on a player, because you now have a void in your team to fill. Why would that player want to play for you? These are not the days of Jose, where you could go in a press conference and single out players and it's going to drive them to go harder, to push harder. We're not in that era of football anymore. They say mental health matters, all these campaigns, this, that, and the third. But all of a sudden, when it's Sancho now, it's like, no, yours doesn't matter. On top of that, I'm sorry, does Harry Maguire not play for Manchester United? he was given a whole interview by the BBC to explain the crazy decisions he made off the pitch. And all of a sudden, when it's Sancho, we should treat him differently. I think what he'd done is perfectly fine.
Do you know whether there might have been... Do a criminal?
he had a lot of fun in Mykonos, like, didn't he?
Especially from the media side of things, Maguire is this honest guy who was captain of the biggest football club in this country that made a mistake. And Jadon Sancho is a guy with a bad attitude that needs to fix up. As far as I'm concerned, Sancho never got arrested abroad. Sancho never hit anyone abroad. He's just what? He might run a bit slower in training. So yeah, every single news outlet is going to go and slander him. And then when he says, well, my mental's not in the right place. No, it's not right. We shouldn't do this. Mental health matters. Always mental health week. Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. So I don't think he done anything wrong. If it was even a player for Arsenal, I respect players that are brave enough to speak up about what's going on behind the scenes, because for far too long, it's been a one-sided story, and I don't think it's fair.
Did you respect Aubameyang?
I feel like if he's going to speak up, though, him tell the full story then, because now it kind of looks like he wasn't happy with what happened and he kind of lashed out. Like, some would argue that the way that Man United dealt with that whole situation was them protecting him, putting an arm around him and saying, okay, this is one of our players going through something, let them take a break. And then now, obviously, something has happened, we don't know what it is, but now maybe that approach is no longer working. So now they're like, well, you're going to get criticised now. I don't know, I won't say that's necessarily right, but I'm just saying there might be something.
That goes back on everything that you've done in the first instance. you protected him and it's like, okay, I've protected you for long enough. I'm going to feed you to the wolves. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't see Ten Hag coming out there slandering Anthony when he's been shit ever since he landed here. But it's Sancho who's the problem. I don't buy into it.
Did he slander him?
We know how the British media and the press work, and he put a target on Jadon Sancho's back that wasn't necessary. And let's keep it a buck. Sancho doesn't look the same as Maguire. He's not going to get the same protection. That's just the way I see it.
Do you know what? I feel like Erik ten Hag, he's done the same with Maguire. But like you said, because Sancho doesn't look like Maguire, Sancho is always going to be on the end of the brat. Is that what the English people say?
Like, it doesn't matter what Ten Hag says about Maguire.
Yeah.
The British press are going to present Maguire.
And now you see in the papers now, because obviously the situation that we're about to get into in a short while is like, oh, Sancho's needed. He's loved. Because he has a void to fill. So you can't slander your players in one instance or put them in a position where they're questioning how hard they're willing to go for their manager and then do a thing of, oh, now I need you. Now I need to rely on you. But are you going to perform for me?
He's not necessarily guaranteed game time because we still have Pellistri. We still have other people that can... I'm not saying they're good, but obviously Sancho compared to Pellistri, I'm not trying to be funny, but like... they're not really going to contribute that much anyway. So he might still not play. He might still not get paid for Ten Hag. So I would say he's guaranteed game time.
The Sancho thing is so confusing because before he came to Man United, this was one of the best players in the world. Like, people talk about Sancho and Haaland's link up in the Bundesliga as one of the best that they've seen in so long. He comes to Manchester United, everything goes tits up, fine, cool. But it always seems like a player comes to Manchester United, and it's a pattern.
Yeah.
A player comes to Manchester United, a player has some sort of reputation outside of football, i.e. Pogba, i.e. Jadon Sancho, have a certain persona outside of football, said player gets targeted. And I just don't understand why Man United hate good football. Because you look at someone like Pogba, it's true. Look at someone like Pogba that got outcasted. Look at someone like Jadon Sancho getting, Cristiano Ronaldo getting outcasted. I understand Cristiano Ronaldo did it to himself with that interview. That interview was stupid.
I will not be defending Ronaldo.
Yeah, no one's offended that man. No one's offended him. But at the same time, it was all a build-up of things that were happening within that club. And I look at that club now, and I just think, this used to be a club that everybody feared, right? This used to be a club that everybody talked about in high regard. And now you kind of look at them and think, who's going to prison next?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's true.
It's true. Like, United have lost their way. They've lost their way in terms of the people that they're employing, but they've lost their way in how they're managing the situation. And they keep... you know, they've had practice over the last few months writing statements.
And the statements are still rubbish.
It's so bad. And I think the problem is that we associate Man United. It's a brand. It's one of the biggest football teams in the world. That's what we grew up with. And what they're doing now is just not good enough. And I think you have to take a duty of care with your black players because the press don't need another excuse to slander them. We saw what happened with Pogba. And I think United have just allowed it. They could squash this by releasing something about Sancho, but they're letting it run. And I'm cynical because I'm like, why are you letting this story dominate the press when you've got another story that the Brazil national team picked up first and dealt with before United were forced to do something? So I just think it's calculated.
I also think it's kind of tactical because the Sancho story took away from the fact that Manchester United away from home were absolutely pathetic. We would have spent the last 2 weeks talking about their performances, but instead we're talking about Jadon Sancho. Chess move.
Do you know what? Yeah. Manchester United away from home. They've been absolutely appalling. We're not shedding light on that.
That's not new. Mourinho used to do that. He would take the spotlight away from the team. And so we don't talk about the performances.
But on Jadon Sancho, right, what is it, and Beatrice, I'll ask you, what is it that you want to see more from this player? Because he doesn't get the game time, right? He's been given his time off with his mental health. He's come back. I think the first few games when he did come back, he was shining. I think he had a performance against Chelsea and it was absolutely amazing. Everyone was talking about it, like, oh my God, Jadon Sancho is back. Scored against Arsenal. Oh my God, Jadon Sancho is back. And now all of a sudden we're back to square one. So what is it that you want to see from this boy?
I think when he does get game time, that is like literally his opportunity to do something. I feel like if you're given, you know, small amounts of game time and you do nothing with it, then obviously no one's going to want to pick you for the next match, especially when we need goals. Like, we're a team right now that we actually need goals. That's something that's lacking. So if you're not producing on that end, then you're going to have people like Anthony taking your place. Like, it's quite embarrassing.
Anthony doesn't perform, though.
He doesn't.
But
there's no but though. There's no but, man. They're both not in good form.
Sancho is better, and that's sad. That's sad. I can't say hand on heart that Sancho is better. That's
again,
crazy.
Again, with out of form players, though, I feel like to a certain degree, you can't give them 25 minutes in one game, and then say, okay, you haven't performed, and you're gone.
Yeah, really? I mean, we won't play you for 4 weeks because they'll never
it
build
makes,
up.
When will anything? They play? And it's like, it's not like, okay, you're on the bench because Anthony's performing out of his skin. He's shit. Sancho's shit. But Anthony's had his chance. He dropped a 2 out of 10 against Arsenal. And obviously, if the circumstances were different, post-international week, he will start again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
That's because Ten Hag asked them to spend 100 million euros on him. So he was going, he wants to flog him until he performs.
I don't feel like he will.
Do you know what I found funny about the whole Sancho thing, yeah, was when they said he did an Arsenal event or Adidas event for Man United, and he said that he doesn't want to talk or that the host should pass the questions on to the other players, and they tried to make a big deal out of that. I was so confused as to how the media tried to spin that narrative and
smear
say his
campaign
uncooperative.
I feel like once campaign. They found their target, then
that's
really,
just it.
It's really difficult for them.
Leave our black men alone.
And you know what it is? Time and time again, there's a certain pundit. His name's Gary Neville. Yeah.
Why do you just say Gary Neville? Why do you just say Gary Neville?
He will go and he will sit there on Monday Night Football, and he will talk about times that black players, especially Raheem Sterling, when he got it, he came to him and he always goes, I should have protection. Well, Mr. Gary Neville, now is your chance to do what you said you should have done for Sterling 3 years ago. Because they always notice their mistakes in hindsight, but when it's happening in reality, everyone's Stevie Wonder and everyone's blind and they can't see. So now is your opportunity to do what you said you should have done for Sterling. For Sancho, because I'm sorry, if it was Kane, if it was Madison, if it was Maguire, Luke Shaw, it's a completely different response from the people that are in charge of distributing such media.
And I hate to bring it to this subject, but we spoke about Anthony a lot. And to be honest, there's no way we as a all-female podcast can sit back, hear this news and not say nothing. Like it just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Anthony has been accused of being domestically violent to his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend, sorry. Mm-hmm.
And two other women.
Allegedly. Please, we don't need to get sued by anybody. Allegedly. And Manchester United, I remember on the day they made a statement, and I opened that statement thinking that they were going to say something substantial. They said, "We have acknowledged these allegations," and that was literally it. Like, Laura, you mentioned about their statements being shit, and Joyce, you said it too. What do you expect from a club that big when they hear news like that? What do you expect them to come out with a statement?
You're supposed to nip it in the bud. To be fair, it's even more embarrassing that the international club obviously acknowledged it first, and now you're having to sit there 2 days later after they've put their statement out saying that we're actually suspending that player, that you're doing, oh yeah, we've seen you guys talking about it in the news and we've seen our player being involved in that, but we're not doing anything else. We're just like going to sit back and watch it. How much more is it going to take for you to also follow in those footsteps sort of thing?
And for me, for Manchester United specifically, after how they dealt with the whole Mason Greenwood situation, have you lot not learned anything from how you handled that and how the public had to shame you into, you know, you turning your decision? And I just look and think, how do you guys have so much practice in writing these statements? And I don't say that in a joking way, like it's disgusting that we're seeing such a concentration of cases at one football club. And I just feel like, where is the duty of care for the women that work within that club, the women's team, fans? It just doesn't exist at the moment when it comes to United. And I don't know, I just look and think, how can, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you know, is he suspended? No, he's not suspended. And obviously Anthony needs to will fight these allegations in the Brazilian court, but I look at United, I keep thinking, how can you keep getting it so wrong? And we should expect better, the brand that they are.
And Beatrice, as a United fan, how do these kind of statements make you feel? Do you feel protected as a female United fan? Do you feel embarrassed? What is it?
To be honest, when I've read it, the first thing I thought was, well, this is what I expect. Like, they've not dealt with things very good in the past. So for me, it's kind of sounded like they were sitting on the fence a little bit. They didn't want to support him and they didn't want to outrightly say that he's guilty either. So they just sat on the fence, which is what they do. Just play it safe, kind of listen to what everyone else says before they make a decision. That's what United do. And I, in some way, I'm kind of glad that they took the decision for him not to play anymore, because in the past, we've seen them just sit on stuff. Just boy, you hear it happen and they just pretend like they can't hear, you know. But in this instance, the very least is that he's not playing. And I hope that he doesn't play until, you know, either he's charged or whatever happens. Even if he's not guilty, I just think we should separate ourselves as a club from people like this. Once there's a whiff of anything like that, they need to go. Like, you need to sell them, get rid of them, whatever. And I think they should be doing background checks into any player that comes to that club, because we can't have this. You can't be associated with harbouring people that commit domestic violence. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's not an image that me as a fan I want to see. It just makes me feel sick, to be honest. Like, I hate it, and I just hope they deal with stuff like so much better in the future.
And sure, I hate to bring this up, but there's an unnamed suspect in football accused of rape, accused of abuse. Uh-huh. And he may or may not play for your club. How do you feel knowing that this player still plays, allegedly, for your club? I'm using my words very carefully here.
As you should.
And as an Arsenal fan and as a woman, acknowledging that there has been these allegations and the club have not really addressed them, how does it feel for you?
I feel like...
Sorry, allegedly. Sorry.
From a fan perspective, it's like, okay, the alleged player in question has been accused of this. Get them out. And I feel like that's how a majority of Arsenal fans feel, whether they voice it or not. Mm. I feel like some people, even if you do have these situations in your club, even as a woman, it will take a lot for us to stop supporting our clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could have these players, but you would still support your clubs. There's clubs that have had racist players, there's clubs that have had...
I like, man.
here I'm going with this. It's like, there's a lot of people out there who will do anything to defend their football club because that's how much they love them blindly. And I feel like from a business point of view, what we forget is that football club are businesses. Mm. And more often than not, they will protect their asset. And looking at it, they feel like their player is the bigger asset in comparison to the fans, which tells us a lot as supporters. But if it was down to me, it's like, until whatever case is over, you're not playing. You're not playing, you're not in the team, you're not around the team. Because then it's like, what sort of message do you send to everyone? And even though this player in question, who I'm not going to name because ain't nobody suing me.
Period.
This player in question is still playing for my club. It's like, as a fan, it's like, rah, Arsenal, really? Like, you Arsenal, all these things, all these younger girls, the women's team, women's coaches, people that are in football as women. It's like, where's our protection? And in all honesty, I feel like footballers on a whole, they're too protected. They're filthy rich and they're way too protected. And this is not the first, and it won't be the last, that we're hearing of cases of alleged sexual assault, alleged domestic violence, or any sort of heinous crime that these guys commit. And it's just like, yeah, but we're a business, we're protecting our asset. And of course, in the court of law, if they're found innocent, then we've done the right thing. And I feel like even with the United one, they withdrew Anthony from the squad, but they didn't suspend him. Because suspending him, maybe to them, looks like an admission of guilt. Mm-hmm. You're guilty, you've done it, we're taking you out. And it's like, if he's now found innocent, everything that Manchester United done looks crazy, whether he done it or not. I, as I said, we all know criminals that get away with crimes. But yeah, that's just my two pence.
Do you know what? I guess just to wrap up this bit, the clubs are doing a lot to protect women. They're doing a lot to make sure women feel safe. They're doing hashtag her game too. They're doing X, Y, and Z. But in order to really fulfill the message you're trying to put out there, you kind of, obviously, we talk about protecting your asset, fine. But you also need to understand how to protect your female viewers, your female fans. Because I can't go to a younger sister or a younger cousin and say, oh, look, come and support this club. And then you Google the club and they're one of their players, one of their star players is being accused of sexual assault or being accused of abuse and stuff like that. It's just not something that clubs should be taking as lightly as they are taking. So hopefully more clubs follow suit and do more proactive things, but unfortunately it's just not where it's going at the moment.
Is there any morals in sport?
No, not really. And I think everyone's known this for a very long time.
And because these crimes are not costing these clubs money, the reality is they don't care.
Don't make me even get into racism, but we're gonna cut that bit. Wait,
can I just
there?
Say, can we as fans do more to make our voices heard? Because we saw in the, I don't want to say his name, but the one that went to Getafe, we saw in that case how our voices were heard in a sense, and they stopped him from coming back. Like, should we be doing more of that?
But then they only
have to.
Even in that situation, you guys haven't cut ties with him. You're letting it die down. He's on loan. He's still a Manchester United player.
His contract.
I probably guarantee if by next summer this whole debacle around this player has died down, he will be back playing for Manchester United.
And another thing is, yeah, let's not also forget, yeah, I'm not like, I hate to bring your club into this. Once a player starts playing well,
things get forgotten.
It goes like that. And I'm not being funny. That guy at Getafe, he is a serious baller. He is. I'll never take that away from him. He is a, before the whole situation, that guy was one of my favourite young kids to come out. Like, honestly. So if he comes out and he's a baller at Getafe, there's not much that probably would be done. He's still a Manchester United player.
That's, at the end of the day. He still is a player, but I think his case, the evidence is on the internet. That can never be forgotten. There's not, like,
but it's
no,
not.
Every time his name comes up, someone will post the clips again.
Like, as fans, we can make our voices heard. We can use our platforms like this. But as Shai said, the only way you're going to hit these clubs in their back pocket. So the sponsors, the people that are involved, the partnerships, withdraw them. Because I co-sign. If you're Manchester United, I also so Adidas with you, for example. So I think what we actually need to see as well are the brands to say, if you're going to protect women, especially, then you need to do more. You need to hit them in their back pockets. You need to actually take a proactive stance on this, because it's not okay. Like, our expectations and our bar, the bar is in hell. We're like, oh, whoa, God, yay, they suspended them. Or they didn't, or said they're not going to play. It's just not good enough.
And it's even the fact that we're sitting here saying the same shit's going to happen. He's going to be a good baller and everyone's going to forget. That's our expectation.
Yeah.
That's where the bar is right now. That's the expectation. So it's time for sponsors to change that expectation, change the narrative, and see what happens next. Moving on to something a little bit more light-hearted. Someone's favourite player. I won't say who. You can probably tell by the way she's smiling. Look at her. The way she's holding her. The smile.
Grinning teeth.
She's proper grinning. Like, look at her. Neymar has become the highest goal-scoring Brazilian ever. Did he do it in the Saudi League? Yeah, he became the highest scoring goal scorer of Brazil in the Saudi League. Oh my God, yay. But Shai, how proud are you of your favourite player?
I think it's
don't
great.
Hold back the smile now, like, it's gone.
I think it's a great achievement. When you look at the calibre of players that Brazil has had and the fact that Neymar sits top of that list for both goals and assists, it's just something great. Like, obviously, his international career has been a bit underwhelming because there's no trophies to go with it. And the year they did win Copa, he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you have the individual records, but given Brazil and the pressure that comes with playing for that country, if you don't have a World Cup or a Copa, you can have all the records. You're not going to get the respect you deserve because you haven't delivered for probably or arguably the greatest footballing nation in the history of our game.
Do you know who did deliver?
Oh, here we go.
Ronaldinho. Now, I'm just saying, if we want to talk about delivering for the best footballing country in the world.
Ooh. But my rebuttal to that is, Ronaldinho done it with a golden generation. In 2006, when he was the leader of the line, he failed.
Oh.
Damn.
But Ronaldinho did it.
R9 done it. As so? Ronaldinho was the backup. You could put any Brazilian... You could even put Oscar and Willian into that 2002 Brazilian team. They would have came away with a medal.
But Ronaldinho did it.
Not as the main man.
Doesn't matter. He still did it.
It matters.
When Neymar wasn't involved completely...
They won a Copa.
Exactly, so...
That's fine. Don't worry. His story is not finished yet. The book hasn't ended.
Are you sure? Now that he's moved to Saudi, are you sure?
I'm talking about for Brazil.
Oh, nice. First.
Are you sure?
I don't think Argentina are better than Brazil. And I think Brazil win the next Copa.
Okay.
So just the Copa, or do you think his ankle will still be attached in 4 years?
The World Cup.
She kept on course. She was just like.
The World Cup depends on how far out of love he's fallen out of football, the way I see it. Yeah. Like, there's no secret that he doesn't want to play for much longer. It's no secret. From his documentary, he was out of love with football.
But does that not. And I won't ask you, Shay. I'll ask everybody else because I don't want your problem. But does that not taint somebody's legacy as a footballer? Like, for example, if Kevin De Bruyne now says he doesn't want to play the next World Cup because he's fallen out of love with football, does that not
Because I think a lot of footballers end up having a weird period where they fall out of love with football, and I don't exactly know what happens, which awakening they have, which makes them realise, you know what, actually, this is something I still want to fight for. So I don't know. But it really does depend. As for Belgium ever winning a World Cup anytime soon, I don't know. So
Belgium's golden boy is retired at 31, by the way. Just putting out there.
Who are you talking about?
Goodness.
Mind your fucking mouth. Mind your mouth.
As I was saying, she's talking about Neymar.
Sorry for the language.
Sorry for the language. Mind Hazard's your mouth.
Retired because no one wanted him.
People wanted him, actually. Who? Lil. Nice?
I need to
they wanted him. Don't call me that, please. You can't say no one wanted him when clubs actually wanted him. Like, clubs actually wanted him. Like, I'm not being funny. Neymar is sitting in Saudi. Why is he sitting in Saudi? Because they ran him out of PSG. Year. They ran him out of Paris.
And
let's be for real. I actually really like Neymar, so we don't need to be having this conversation, Shai.
Then we don't need to be talking about legacies when Eden Hazard is retired at 31.
Do you know what? But the thing is, I'm not talking about Eden Hazard. If you want to talk about Eden Hazard's legacy, his legacy only stops in the Premier League. Like, this legacy is not long. When you talk about Neymar's legacy, I'm not even sneak dissing him. I'm just saying Ronaldinho's legacy is greater. That's all I'm saying.
Neymar's legacy, the story isn't finished being written. That's all I'm saying.
A player is playing in Saudi Arabia. He's not sure if he's still in love with football. We're not sure if he's going to be at the next World Cup. What is left for his legacy? To win the Saudi League?
To win the Copa.
He wins the Copa America.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Depends.
So his legacy internationally is one Copa America.
Okay. But then on a club level, he supersedes every Brazilian to ever exist apart from Marcelo and Dani Alves.
Which is fine. Like, I'm okay with that. But I'm just saying, Ronaldinho has done everything that Neymar's done and more.
What's the and more? The World Cup?
Yes.
That R9 won Brazil.
He won it!
He won it being the second or third best player in that team, not the first.
Can I ask you a question, Beatrice?
They don't give you the medal depending on how many minutes you play.
That's not
what I'm talking about. Sorry. Come on now. Let's be for real.
That's not what I'm talking. I just feel like when it comes to the Neymar situation, right? As a Neymar fan, I will tell you, 2018.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
In World Cup, he absolutely underperformed. Absolutely, he underperformed. Brazil should have done so much better than they did. But 2014 and the World Cup just gone, at the end of the day, it takes a team to win a World Cup. And throughout Neymar's tenure at Brazil, he hasn't had the best team. He didn't have the luxury of what Ronaldinho had. Like, Ronaldinho had a star-studded Brazilian team to fight for World Cup and Coppers. Neymar had Sesame Street characters, Joe, Fred, Hernanez, all really? These guys.
I'm talking about
Manchester United, Fred. Oh. I'm talking about Fred, the striker.
Can we actually just highlight that Beatrice thought we met that Fred? That's the Fred. That's the Fred. You need to be for real. You need to be for real. I get that neighbor had quote unquote Sesame Street characters.
Joe's Sesame Street character. Yeah. So is Fred.
No, but the thing is, it doesn't take away from the brilliance of Ronaldinho. It just doesn't.
I'm not saying that it takes away, but I'm saying that Ronaldinho was more fortunate to be in a better Brazil team than Neymar. And I will also keep reiterating the point of when it was his turn to take the mantle and take Brazil to World Cup finals and lead the line, like what R9 done for him, he couldn't do it.
So, Beatrice, I'll ask you the question. You grew up on Ronaldinho and you've seen Neymar play, right? Which one of those players are you screaming for if you see them?
Ronaldinho. My mum, my whole family.
That man had the streets of South London screaming.
My mum
Ronaldinho is Ronaldinho.
No offense, but my mum doesn't really know Neymar and that. But that's just different generations, whatever. But we were screaming for Ronaldinho.
And I do think it's a generational thing, though.
Are you going to let Beatrice finish?
Sorry, I'm just saying. I do think it's a generational thing. Like, for people my age or younger, I think Neymar is to us what Ronaldinho is.
Oh, she's calling us aunties.
I'm sorry, can we just pause that?
She's calling us aunties.
We're too old to understand. I am not calling you guys old. You're just older than me.
Sorry, just quick question. We've got someone who is Shai's age mate or younger in the back. Kevin. Who are you screaming for if you see them walking on the street? Ronaldinho or Neymar? There you go.
Joyce.
Sometimes I forget that you're a baby as well. Who are you screaming over?
I'd still say Ronaldinho. Yeah. All those ants showing off the soccer boots, everything else.
The thing is, I wouldn't walk past Neymar. I'll still be a little fangirl. But at the same time,
if you put them two in the street, I'm running to Ronaldinho.
I'm running to Ronaldinho.
Come on, let's be honest.
I'm sending the video to my family group chat. And everyone's going to know who he is. And we're all going to be screaming like, oh my God, we saw him.
Exactly.
I don't think he deserves to be disrespected though.
No. It's not even disrespect.
It is to me.
It's more or less of just acknowledging who truly has the streets. Like, it's Ronaldinho.
Even in Brazil, if you go to Brazil and ask them, they'll say.
Yeah, but Neymar hasn't achieved anything with Brazil, so that makes perfect sense.
But even at that, if Ronaldinho was the backup dancer that you say he was for Ronaldo.
Which he was.
Yeah, which is fine. Then if you go to Brazil, they'll probably say the same thing, no?
What, R9 first?
You know that Ronaldinho is not as great as Neymar.
I like the fact that you said that.
No, I'm saying based off of your logic.
Based off my logic, what?
They would say that Ronaldinho is not as great as Neymar.
I'm confused.
You know what? You sound like me when I defend Hazard blindly. I hear it.
Honestly, he has underachieved. I'm the first person to say that, especially more so on the international stage than the club stage, because no one's going to tell me a guy with 28 major honours in his club career has underachieved. But it's just the nation that he plays for, the pressure. You can win as much as you want in European football. If you don't deliver for that nation, you will never live up to the greats.
But then again, I also compare his kind of football career at the club level, right? Barcelona, pinnacle of his career. He was second to none. Okay, wait, second to Messi. But he was like one of the best footballers in this world. As in Neymar and Messi, Suarez, that combination.
MSN came as a brand package. That was it. Everyone.
MSN. Nido, Bale.
This is a BBC pause, baby. No, but you look at that trio and you saw Neymar. Neymar was probably the one that was pulling the strings between all three of them. And everyone saw his trajectory of his career being through the roof, right? Mm-hmm. Then he made a career decision to go to PSG.
Wrong decision.
And then you realise he's not the only baddie there. It's Mbappé! It's Mbappé!
Exactly. So that also adds or takes away from his legacy. Do you not agree?
No.
Why?
Because I don't think...
Because he didn't go win the Champions League at PSG.
Yeah,
the same person that Joy speaks of decided to have a blunder in the final, missed like 65 chances that Neymar will create for him. But we won't get into that.
It's a team sport, Sha. Why like, did Neymar go?
Yeah,
there?
The objective of going to PSG now is a team sport. But when I was telling
you, the Brazilians were shit.
You guys said
were
to
using
me,
your logic?
It doesn't matter.
Anyways, I think in hindsight, was the PSG move crazy? Probably. Should he have stayed at Barcelona? Yes. But I respect him because he didn't want to be the second best player at Barcelona Football Club.
So he decided to become the second best.
He wasn't the second best player at PSG.
And then came third best when Messi came.
Yeah.
He wasn't the second best player at PSG. There's no secret as to why the one season in which Neymar was fit, PSG finally made a Champions League final. But when they were relying on Mbappe whilst Neymar was either icing his knees, his ankle or something, Mbappe couldn't deliver. And he's still yet to deliver for PSG.
But I thought by applying your logic, it's a team sport. Mbappe couldn't deliver with just him.
But Neymar could.
And also, I want to apply your logic from when we did the last rating show.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about... do you know what? I forgot. Sorry, it's been a long day. It's been such a long day.
And also, I think Neymar's most complete version of himself was in Paris. I feel like he was exciting at Barca. But 17, 18, leading up to that World Cup, he was amazing. Like, amazing. Complete.
I just remembered what I want to apply your logic about. It's been such a long freaking day. So, the year that PSG got to the final, what year was it?
2020.
COVID.
The year Bayern won the Champions League.
Mm. COVID.
Yep.
Ooh. Do you know what we said about Liverpool? And COVID year?
Mm. Asterisk year.
Asterisk.
So the one good season is the asteroid. Asterisk.
So what Neymar are you doubling down on here?
What I'm doubling down on is that against Manchester United, when Ollie went through, he didn't play. He wasn't fit. Right?
That's one of his biggest issues as an individual footballer.
Yeah, but it's not his injuries are not his fault. His injuries are contact injuries.
His injuries are always around the same time every single year.
Someone's birthday. Someone's birthday.
Every single year. We're not gonna do it. But let's keep it a G. Like every single year.
He was missing last season's Champions League again. He was injured. So the difference between the Liverpool one and Neymar is that was the only season in which, when knockout football came around, he was available. And the games that he had was fantastic.
You keep applying extra layers of context.
For Neymar, absolutely. Absolutely. 110% every single time.
The thing is, Neymar's legacy is going to be one that's remembered for a long time because he came up as the golden boy that was meant to kind of take Brazil to the promised land. And he did have a lot of pressure on his shoulders growing up. He was basically meant to be the leader of Brazil, who's meant to be the captain of Brazil, who's meant to be the highest scoring Brazilian player. And he fulfilled those prophecies, but obviously he didn't take them to the promised land. And and like you said, I actually don't blame him because he did have Sesame Street characters in Brazil that he had to carry. My only issue here is just the fact that for club football, he made decisions for himself that just didn't benefit him along the way. And as a footballer, and I even blame Eden Hazard for this as well, as a footballer, making these decisions, if you make these decisions, you got to stick by it, understand that your legacy will be in question when you make moves to these places. Especially PSG, when Kylian Mbappe also went to PSG. And you can say that Kylian Mbappe hasn't done nothing for PSG, but he's still highly respected and very much so loved.
It's in okay, PSG. He can cry into his World Cup medal. That's calm, isn't it?
And he won the World Cup. And he was one of the most integral pieces to that in France team. Are you going to say it's a team sport?
I'm not going to disagree with that. But I just think Neymar's a bit disrespected when it comes to his club level legacy. He's better than Hazard, he's better than Bale, Di Maria, Sanchez, you name it. Any winger that was playing in his era, Neymar is top. All of them. And
why
that's
do you think
it.
He's so disrespected?
Because of the country that he comes from.
People don't agree with you.
That's fine if you don't agree with me, but I think it's because of the country.
You're on fire today, boy.
Because of the country that he comes from and the legends that he has to surpass. The pressure is different when you're Brazilian compared to when you're English, when you're Spanish, even to a certain degree when you're French.
That being said, living on the same timeline as somewhere where Ronaldo and Messi exist, it's always going to be one of the three. And unfortunately, I think it's just the way football is. Really, and when we're talking about South American teams and whatnot, it was always either going to be Brazil or Argentina. And unfortunately, in this timeline, it's Argentina over Brazil, and there isn't that many names. Maybe now there's more, but around that era where Neymar peaked, there wasn't really the names to back taking a whole new legacy.
Also, the era in which he peaked, the two best players of all time were still at their heights. And I think that also didn't benefit him, but there's nothing he can do. Messi and Ronaldo are greater than him, and I'm happy to accept that.
Do you think that Neymar has been the third best player consistently after Messi and Ronaldo at their peaks?
Yep. I don't think Suarez's peak matches Neymar's. I don't think anyone else. And before you guys start, I don't include Iniesta in that generation.
You can't pick and choose what generation that they're coming from. They're playing at the same time.
Iniesta and Neymar can't be in the same generation. That's impossible.
No, but if they're playing at the same time, same team.
Same team, but not the same generation. Iniesta came out, 2004, 2005? He's not the same generation as Neymar.
I'm talking about, were they not, wait, correct me if I'm wrong. Were they not playing at the same time?
Neymar's Barcelona medals also ones that Iniesta has, I think is your question.
Yes.
they're from the same team.
Clarify what you're trying to say.
I'm saying if the third best player in the world, that's my question, and you say you're not including Iniesta in that.
So what are you asking me? Would I put Neymar third?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was Neymar consistently the third best player after Ronaldo and Messi?
Yes.
Including Iniesta. In this, we're not splitting generations, just including everybody
Xavi, if you
want to in the world.
Into.
I think from Neymar is the third best player. I'm gonna stand on it.
Can I ask a question, Beatrice? You've been here the longest. Who's more shameless, me with Hazard or Chai with Neymar?
It's tight.
Because the way I'm looking at it, Shai, you're...
Now you understand how we feel.
You're flip-flopping ass bitch. Girl.
I don't care. It's Neymar. Like, not having the disrespect, sorry. There's players that have done less that are more respected than him, and it's just weird.
Like
who? I want names.
I want names! Players like who?
I don't want
because Shai really said agenda over facts right now.
Joyce, if you had a player that you would ride for the way Shai's riding for, who would that player be?
good question. Great question. I'd obviously have to shamelessly say John Stones, but that's just because
John Stones.
Swifty Stones.
Listen, come on. Yeah. Yeah. It's always been.
She's always wanted to be on Swifty Stones.
Yes. See her the John Stones fan club.
Right? I've been there.
She was there.
She's
yeah.
When she they weren't there. Buying, when we bought him for 50 mil, and everyone was like, huh? I was there. Now I'm drinking. Why John Stones?
I don't know. Honestly, I actually don't know. But I think I saw a bit of. I saw what Pep was trying to see in him when he was in Everton. I thought, you know what, I'm gonna back. Considering we had like the likes of, actually, let me not shit on people like Demichelis and whatnot, but we had very questionable defenders. Otamendi on his bad day.
Otamendi, you still start for Argentina, you know.
So, but yeah. Probably John Stones, yeah.
You haven't convinced me as to why. Do you know what? You don't need to convince
I don't
me.
Need to convince. Just look at my old tweets, you guys. I've got tweets now.
I remember when John Stones was shit and everybody wanted him out of the England squad. But hey.
Hey, look. Maguire's still playing for England.
Stranger things. Beatrice, who is your one player that you would go on the hill for?
Pogba.
Okay, I understand. I can't answer that.
It's Pogba, man. I love him.
Yeah. Not Bruno Fernandes. I don't know why I thought it would be Bruno Fernandes.
Please.
Do you guys not remember when Beatrice said Fernandes going to score 25 goals?
Okay, I defended him one time.
The way you defended him that
the
day.
Thing is, Bruno's numbers don't lie. Even till now, his numbers don't
Beatrice's
lie.
Beatrice's biggest hurdle was when she said Harry Kane would get 5 league goals.
Wait, what?
Did I say that? I don't recall.
Someone needs to put that
clip. What? You know when Kane had that shocking start?
Oh my god. He was four for like 6 months. And he was in like 5 for a long time.
Well, when he tore his hamstring and was injured.
Yeah.
Was he injured? So, she said he wouldn't get 5 league goals.
No, no, there was a plan. He was playing and he just wasn't scoring for a long time. I think this was
Oh my god, that was so funny.
And he picked up later on in the season.
He was it was the season he tore his hamstring.
He started badly.
No, he started terribly.
Yeah, but
terribly.
He would always have a slow start.
It was
start
like he started so bad for months and he didn't actually
5
score.
Goals though, Harry Kane.
Oh, was it under Nuno? The beginning of Nuno? I would have played under protest, to be honest.
No, yeah, it was the
when he didn't get his City move.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Okay.
5 goals. Oh my.
Bro. That's a wild take.
That
yeah.
is a wild okay. statement.
So I don't have to die on this hill anymore for him, but yeah.
He didn't score, so.
Injured?
No, he wasn't injured. He wasn't. Injured.
No, we've clarified it was the Nuno Spirit of Santo
era.
Yes, so exactly. Come on, man. Caveat that. Apply content.
I'm not being funny. Nuno did get managed above.
I know, in August.
So there you go,
3-1-0 wins.
Laura, who's your player? I think you're going to say Harry Kane, but who is your
player? No, Gareth Bell.
Gareth Bell?
Gareth Bell.
When we do the ratings for wingers, that should be very interesting.
Gareth Bell.
Would you put him ahead of Eden Hazard?
Wider outside of Premier League legacy, yes.
In the Premier League?
Why are you thinking about it?
Why are you thinking like...
In the Premier League, I'll accept Hazard. But when you see what Bell's done, club and country, taking Wales to the Euros and the World Cup, on his back, I always ride for him.
On his back, Ramsey performed better on international stage, but we won't get into that.
Oh, hey!
When Wales needed to beat Ukraine to qualify for the World Cup, Who got the winning goal?
At the actual
who
Euros,
got who got the winning goal?
At the actual
please,
Euros,
please
it was Aaron Ramsey and Robson Kanu who was delivering to put Wales through. Where was Gareth Bale tying his ponytail?
Tying his ponytail. Who scored against England at that said Euros?
What did that do? I'm talking about after England. England was group stages, right?
So answer my question.
So England was the group stages, right?
Shy, answer my question. Who scored against Ukraine to even take Wales to the first World Cup in three generations?
Congratulations, he scored. But when it was Euros, what was it, quarterfinals?
Wait, sorry, did you score? Do you mean against Ukraine when Ukraine were at war? Was it when Ukraine was at war? Is that what you're championing right now?
No, I'm asking who scored the goal to send Wales to the World Cup?
Well, against Ukraine, but at war. Wow, that's morbid, boy.
That's not morbid.
All
who scored the goal?
Is, right, there was a quarterfinal.
You
right?
argue, I'm not denying that Aaron Ramsey was not good.
Aaron Ramsey and Gareth Bale put his country on his back. That, no, he didn't.
Yes, he did put his country on his back.
No, he didn't.
He did.
No, he didn't.
All right, we'll leave that there.
Anyway, talking about international football, England.
Yes, speaking of international football, before we segue, guys, let us know in the comments who is that one player that you will ride on a hill for till you die. Let's talk about international football.
Thomas Tuchel.
really quickly. Yeah, Bridget will ride for Thomas Tuchel to the death. Hey, you know what? I will never forget
that day.
I will never forget, yeah, that day. I think we were recording. And we were like, I think like 15 points off the top. And then Bristol said, no, we can still win the Premier League. I was like, this guy believes in Tuchel. No, that was a good day. But okay, moving on to international football anyway. Has anyone been watching international football?
I was
held at gunpoint to watch the second half.
Yeah. Before we even get into England, Hansi Flick.
Yeah,
has been sacked.
Got cooked by Japan
as the German manager. Like you said, got cooked by Japan.
No, but the thing is, Japan are an amazing team.
Of course,
just like their women's team, they're like Bam. You can see Japan are faded during there.
Have you guys read or watched Blue Lock?
Yeah, well, I've seen clips.
Bro, if they're playing football like that, you can imagine exactly what they can do on the world's biggest stage. But
I think Hansi Flick deserves to be sacked.
Okay, why?
Because as poor as Germany are right now,
Germany have standards.
They have players and they shouldn't be playing the way they are playing. Mm. And it's like, in all honesty, okay, Wirtz just came back from injury. Kai Havertz is going through it. When you look at some of the talent they have, Kimmich, then you guys' favourite defender, Rudiger, you got Schlotterbeck. You got enough Mr. talent. In he does run like that, you know.
<I need. laughs>
You got enough talent in that German team to not be as poor as you were. I understand they're still going through a transition between possibly the last World Cup, the Euros, the World Cup that they went out of, the World Cup that they went out of again. But Hansi Flick should be getting a lot more out of the caliber of players that he has than he is at face value. You look at Sané, you look at Gnabry, you look at some of these people at their club, they're feared. You play Germany, it's like...
Yeah, and that's the thing that you're right. Teams don't fear playing Germany anymore. Mm. And that's their problem. Really and truly. But at least the German FA have done something about it. At least they've said these are not our standards.
They're letting this one-trick pony keep on playing the same people.
Mm. Do you know what it is though? Sorry, Anita. You see,
why are you saying sorry to me?
You see that Gareth Southgate? Yeah,
him and his waistcoat, man.
He's a criminal. How can you put Madison on the wing?
Interchanging with Bellingham.
So that you can play Jordan Henderson in 2023.
You're a sick man. Like, you're a sick man.
I'm so sorry. Jordan Henderson's days, they're over. They're finished. I don't even know if you're a great servant. Who cares?
It's been over.
Get him gone. Like, Jude Bellingham has had such an exciting start to his Real Madrid career. I turned on my TV yesterday. He's on the wing. I said, huh?
Yes. No, it's actually like Harry Maguire has more minutes for England than he does for his club at club level. Calvin Phillips. Like, I think the...
Every time he gets selected, I'm just like...
Everybody breathe.
Not only do we now have a manager that's not picking in-form players, why is Raheem at home, first and foremost? We also now have a manager that's picking players who don't even play at club level.
And I feel like this is where I question Gareth Southgate. Because if you're picking some of the players based on merit, Raheem Sterling should always be in that England team.
Thank you.
Because if Harry Maguire can make it, you can't tell me...
Manchester United centre.
You can't tell me that Raheem Sterling's an underperformer at international level. He's far from.
It's true. That's
so
true.
If it's based on merit, there shouldn't be an England team that I see without Raheem Sterling. Another thing, you've got the likes of Rashford and Foden who can play on the wing. You put Madison there.
You're back to the Madison. Try something different.
It's true. I was looking at Madison. They're just not the one that came to Spurs. Like, it's bad. I look and think now that England squad has surpassed the managerial ability that Gareth Southgate had. I cannot keep watching this England team and seeing these players shock out at club level. And actually looking at an England team which doesn't have that many weaknesses. They're strong in different areas. We talk about, okay, maybe Neymar was playing in a team that didn't have good players. England have got quality all over the pitch and Southgate doesn't even use them.
I honestly think, aside from Brazil, France, and maybe you can argue Portugal to a certain degree, England have top five most talented squads currently. Oh, in the world.
On paper.
Yeah.
Even on form. Like, some of these players are performing out of their skin. Mm-hmm. You've possibly got one of the best strikers, top two strikers at your disposal. You've got one of the best young, no longer young, right wingers in Bukayo Saka, yeah? You've got Rashford, who everyone can argue as he might have his deficiencies, but he's a goal machine, right? Then you've got the likes of Madison, Bellingham, Rice in behind. You've got Reece James. You've got Trent Alexander. All these talented players at your disposal. And that's what you play. Like,
and
you,
and no, because the England team now looks like a Hungary, where it's they've got like two like you know top players, and everybody else is rubbish.
No disrespect to Hungary,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, sorry. And but it looks like a team that only has like you know those countries. They only have like two really good players, like Ukraine. Let's try to get. Ooh. it's not but you can see they try to give the ball to Zinchenko because he's the one with real quality in the team. Why do England look like they don't have quality in the team?
In all honesty, apart from France,
you guys are going back to
on
back
on paper. I was so upset yesterday. On paper, right, apart from France, it's not like we're going to World Cup, we're going into European Championship, right? Germany are wounded. Italy might not even make it. No, but I'm giving respect to the nations. Italy might not make it. Germany are wounded. France, possibly top two countries.
Can I just say, Germany are going to be there anyway because they're hosting.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, she said automatic it. Qualification.
Honorary.
My bad, guys. I forgot Germany's the host nation. Right.
Germany are there by default.
So it's like, a lot of the top nations in Europe are wounded. Spain is still not complete, you could argue. England have another chance to win the European Championship again in Germany. And it's like, you're playing about, you're mucking about. Get it together.
No, it's
get
true.
Get it together.
It's but true. Like,
let's not that guy. We just
he isn't. But now change. He should have gone after the World Cup.
I want your guys' opinion on this. But who do we get then? I don't know why I say who do we get, but who does England get then as a new manager?
I feel like England want to do the whole get an English manager.
Yeah, we need
thing.
To. We need
they
want to
do it so bad. Like,
I can't lie.
No,
like,
find someone
widen
new.
Your net.
It's just like, it's very simple. Pickford in goal. You make a choice between Reece James and Trent. Whoever you want to go for, you go for. I'm not getting into it. You've then got centre backs, right? Get Harry Quagmire off. You've got John Stone,
when
got
he's not made
ben
of glass.
White.
Yeah, well, when he's not made of glass, but yeah.
So you got John Stone, so you got Ben White. Let's say that's that. You make a choice between Chilwell and Shaw. Then you go into midfield. It's not hard. Declan Rice, Jude Bellingham, James Maddison. Fantastic three. Perfectly balanced, right? Then you go Saka, Rashford, Kane. Saka, Foden, Kane. Foden, Rashford, Kane. How hard can it be to pick an 11? Like, and I feel like majority of English fans would love to see that 11 on the pitch just once. You went against Ukraine, you played Henderson and Rice. Why do we go into games with two DMs? It makes no sense.
And at the 70th minute, when he needed to make substitutions Connor to go and win the game, he took off Bellingham and he left Henderson and Rice on the same pitch. And I'm looking
at
the television.
That was a howler.
I can't get how much money are they paying you for this?
No, it's that just his favourites. Henderson and Maguire, for some reason, are his favourites. And he can't, he'll say, oh, I do it on merit, blah, blah, blah. But you're clearly lying.
Exactly.
You can see that these players
lying
are good.
His back
crazy.
Teeth.
The thing is, I really want to see if Henderson maintains his starting spot off by playing in Saudi. I just want to see if that happens, because then I have some serious questions for Gareth Southgate, especially on a couple of players that play abroad. But hey, we won't go into that. I do think we are harsh on Southgate. Sometimes.
I remember seeing an article saying something like, we haven't really, we've been really harsh on him and we kind of forget what England used to play like before Southgate came
in.
Yeah,
but this squad is better. This squad
football has evolved since then and since Southgate was wearing his waistcoat back in the Euros.
I hear it.
The How players are we harsh? In the England. How do you think we're harsh?
I feel like Southgate has gotten this team to a World Cup quarterfinal, gotten the team to Euros final, and I don't
and a World Cup what semi final
and a World Cup semi final, and I see it as progress,
but could have gone further in those competitions.
That's the
if
thing.
He wasn't not playing
Pick
the same
a good team.
The
not
thing
even
is,
even a good team. Even do you think the Italians? Do you think? Yeah. Let's frame the scenario. Do you think if England went to Italy and We beat them in their own backyard. Do you think the Italians would have forgiven Mancini? They would have dragged him by his ear out that stadium.
Yeah, you guys want to tell me.
Oh, we're too harsh. You at home. Wembley Stadium was double capacity because everyone was rushing the doors. I couldn't even sit in my seat. Yeah? And you let the Italians come after 20 minutes, dictate a game, take us all the way to penalties and lift the trophy in our own backyard.
I will never ever defend that Euros final. I can't even lie to you. You're right. I will never ever defend that Euros final because what Gareth Southgate did in that final was criminal. The changes he made.
He should have been fired.
Listen, because he's Mancini was playing chess and he was playing checkers. It wasn't making any fucking sense.
You know what Verratti, Barella and Jorginho have done to our midfield?
Bro.
Jorginho isn't fast. He's not even fast.
And the fact that, do you know what? I'm getting mad now. The fact that Mason Mount made it to extra time. Mason Mount. Doug made it, and the greenish comes on in extra time. Yo, that okay.
And that's and Sancho and Rashford enough. To save him when the game needed pace from the 35th minute.
Do you know what?
It's not good enough because the FA have done a wonderful job. Look at England, how many age groups that they are winning on the Euros, on the world level. Look at the women's team. The pathway is there. So St. George's Park is working, and this man is a blocker for success. He is a blocker. How many major tournaments does he have to fall short before we say enough is enough?
All right, well, he's got a golden generation, in my opinion, a golden generation in his hands right now.
Which means there needs to be more change.
Do they want us to be Belgium? We're going to end up like Belgium.
Let's see what he does in
if the Bayern Euros. Take back Hansi Flick, hire Tuchel and let's go win the Euros.
What, for us?
For England.
Is Nagelsmann still free?
He's currently under contract, though, because Bayern are still paying him. Someone that's not English will deliver. You see how Serena came with the tactics to the country.
Sorry? I feel like Graham Potter's lined up. You'll start seeing the rumours.
Serena Wiegman, she came and brought the winning tactic.
You will start seeing the rumours from March onwards. Gareth Southgate will not be continuing with England. However, Graham Potter will be taken forward after the Euros. You will start seeing the rumours. Mm-hmm. You will start seeing it. But maybe we do need a... outside of my show. You're taking this personal, bro. I hear it. We've got a golden generation in our hands. Let's see what he does deliver. I do want to ask a question before we go. Mikhail Mudryk, he's been a talk of the town for...
He needs to work on more assets that aren't just pace and power. How can you have so much pace and power but no actual like technical ability above like actual... Power.
You guys didn't even let me finish the
question.
What's the question?
Do we need to give him more grace?
Why?
Grace for what? Just more time?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
I think it's hard
as well with the kind of team that Chelsea is at the moment. They're still a developing team.
Chelsea underestimated the raw player that they were getting. Who was it, Potter? Who signed Mudryk? Boehly? Egg Bali?
Nah, he needs more time. He doesn't even have 50 senior appearances. Yeah. Like he's very time. Raw.
He's a delicate flower.
Aww.
Yeah, but he may need a loan because he needs to play football.
Loan him to Arsenal.
Oh. You guys won't play him.
Of course we will.
Where? Who's dropping out?
Don't worry, my manager, he has magic hands apparently.
But who is dropping out?
I don't want to say it on camera.
No, say it! I'm putting the pressure. Who's dropping out?
He can start left wing.
Yeah. Martinelli's
coming out the face.
You think? Hey, if you weren't going to get cooked, then you're going to get cooked.
And on that note, we are going to end it. Thank you for watching Gold Diggers UK. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Gold Diggers UK, at Gold Diggers UK on TikTok, and at Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Make sure you follow us all individually for some more funny takes because these takes have been wild, especially Shy. Shy.
We might have to sit
Don't die for Neymar.
People are watching Gold Diggers. That's all that matters.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is. What a bag is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.